Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be with you on the afternoon drive, and so much to get into. It's a fun time of the year. We have Major League Baseball in full swing, NBA playoffs, and of course on the local sports front, a lot going on as we get down to the final couple of weeks of the regular season for spring sports. It's going by in a hurry. We're already in the middle of April. So we got plenty to dive into today. Joining us on the show, we're going to talk with Coach Troy Winter of the Emory High School soccer team. Looking forward to having Coach Winter join us on the air and talk about what's going to be a very big week for his team as they'll take on South Sevier tomorrow and then a game against Grand on Thursday, which could decide the region championship. And also, we're going to recap the first 2 days of the NBA playoffs, 38 days left in the NBA season. I think that's what it counts up to right now, about 38 days left. Yesterday, right here on KOAL, the Utah Jazz suffered a loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Hot start for the Jazz, did not get much out of Joe Ingles in the first half. Ricky Rubio, very aggressive from the field for the Jazz, shot a very low percentage. He was 5 of 18. That's not going to get the job done against Oklahoma City. Paul George was magnificent yesterday. He had 36 points. So we got to talk about the Utah Jazz. To me, the big surprise, it really wasn't even Indiana and Cleveland, because I thought that Indiana would get one or two games, and I still think Cleveland's going to win this series, although it's a little bit of an eye-opener. To me, the big surprise was the continued dominance of Anthony Davis and the way this guy just continues to propel the Pelicans without DeMarcus Cousins. They top the Portland Trail Blazers, 97-95. Home court advantage for Portland gone just like that. Anthony Davis, he's pretty good at basketball. 14 of 26, 35 points, 14 rebounds, 4 blocks, 2 steals. Have yourself a day, Anthony Davis. That's a box score and a half. And again, home court advantage gone for the Portland Trail Blazers just like that. The Blazers seem to be struggling a little bit. Down the stretch, they lost 4 out of 5 to close out the regular season. C.J. McCollum struggled again from the field yesterday, just 7 of 18. There's some problems, I think, right now in Portland, and it seems like the Pelicans are peaking at the right time while the Blazers kind of heading down at the wrong time. So we'll talk some NBA basketball. We're going to bring in James Holas. We haven't talked to James in a while. Love James's insight, but for whatever reason, we haven't been able to catch up with James in quite some time. So James is going to join us on the show coming up a little bit later. We'll talk some NBA basketball. The big storylines coming out of the national sports scene today. Let's take a look at them. First off, the Denver Broncos plan to release C.J. Anderson. I'm going to say this is a little bit of a surprise because he just had his first 1,000-yard season this past year. He was the team's leading rusher, and he's really been with the Broncos his whole career. He was undrafted in 2013. They had matched a 4-year, $18 million offer sheet from the Dolphins back in 2016 to keep him, and that deal had 2 years remaining on it. The move comes as the Broncos open up their offseason program today. Now, Devontae Booker and D'Angelo Henderson, Anderson was a sixth-round draft pick last year, are the only two running backs on the Bronco roster at this particular time. Ute fans, you're very familiar with Devontae Booker. I think there's some possibility there, but still, only two running backs on the roster as it currently sits. Anderson's release or trade have been, I guess, possibilities since the end of the season. I just didn't see the Broncos releasing him outright, especially after the season that he had last year. But there's a big draft class as far as running backs. The Broncos have the number 5 overall pick. They have 8 of their picks in the first 5 rounds. All 8 of their picks are in the first 5 rounds. And while quarterback is definitely a need in Denver, I know Bronco fans don't want to hear that. You still don't have a quarterback with Case Keenum. Sorry, you don't. Once they get that figured out, there are plenty of running backs in this draft. And that's the direction I think the Broncos go. I think Booker is very capable, but at the same time, Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, Darius Geis, Ronald Jones, Rashad Penny, Kerryon Johnson, all of those guys that I just mentioned could be a number one back in the NFL. And Penny is one of the players the Broncos have had in their complex for pre-draft visits. To me, they're shifting their direction. They're going running back in the NFL draft at some point in time. And because of that, C.J. Anderson is gone. I don't think he's going to be a free agent very long. I know that Miami has had a lot of interest in Anderson for quite some time. They seem kind of loaded right now in the backfield. Gore, Kenyon Drake, I think they're kind of set at running back. Maybe that's a possibility. I'll tell you who could really use C.J. Anderson. Seattle Seahawks. They have a lot of needs. Okay? A lot of needs. So go out, get C.J. Anderson, and maybe take a running back later on in the draft. Seattle makes a lot of sense to me. Maybe Indianapolis. Maybe he can provide replacement-type minutes for or carries for, you know, Frank Gore. Washington is another team that could be rumored. But here seems to be the team where C.J. Anderson, a 1,000-yard rusher who's released, could do some damage. New England, right? The Patriots should be in the market for Anderson. They lost Deion Lewis. They lost Rex Burkhead. New England should be in the running for C.J. Anderson. They should be making contact with Anderson's representatives. To me, that would be a seamless fit. But C.J. Anderson's time in Denver is done. It's come to a close. Outside of that, very slow day for the national sports scene. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA. We only have two games tonight. The Miami Heat will take on the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers put up 74 second-half points on Miami in Game 1 and rolled to a victory without Joel Embiid. Philadelphia is a pretty good basketball team. Markelle Fultz, he saw some time. He got some minutes for the Philadelphia 76ers. Tonight, 6 p.m. on TNT, they'll try to put a stranglehold on the series, take a 2-0 lead going back to Miami. And then, in the nightcap, San Antonio will take on Golden State. Spurs are done. Put a fork in them. No Kawhi Leonard. He's not going to play this season. He's been cleared, but he's still not going to play. May have played his final game in a Spurs uniform. Very weird situation. And the Golden State Warriors, for the most part this year, have played possum. Still not 100% healthy, but they're still very, very good. When you have four All-Stars to the level that Golden State has, you can have an injury or two. You're going to be fine. This is going to be a short series. San Antonio at Golden State, 8:30 start time in that contest. Let's take a look at Major League Baseball, because there is a lot going on there always this time of the year. We have games just about ready to start. In fact, at 4:30, we get the Marlins taking on the Yankees. Luis Severino will be on the mound for the Yankees. The Yankees are sitting at 7-7, but Severino is 2-1 so far this year. 5 o'clock hour, we get the Rockies and the Pirates. The Royals will travel to meet the Blue Jays. We get the Nationals taking on the Mets. Jacob deGrom will be on the mound going up against Jeremy Hellickson, who's making his first start for the Nationals. The Rangers will take on the Rays at 5:10. We get the Phillies and the Braves. The Reds travel to meet the Brewers at 5:40. Nightcap games tonight. We get the White Sox and the A's at 8:05. The Astros will go toe-to-toe with the Mariners at 8:10. Dallas Keuchel, who has yet to log a victory, will take on James Paxton. Again, that game is set for an 8:10 start time. And also the Dodgers will take on the Padres. Ryu, who pitched very well for the Dodgers in his debut, will take the mound tonight for LA. A couple of games that are postponed. We get the Orioles and the Red Sox and the Cardinals and the Cubs. Neither of those games will be taking place. The Orioles and the Red Sox will make up their game on May 17th. The Cardinals and Cubs, they'll make up this game on July 21st. And that's a quick rundown of what is happening in the national sports front. Again today, we're going to talk to Coach Troy Winter of the Emory High School Soccer Squad. Plus, we'll catch up with James Hollis to talk some NBA basketball. And we have a local sports recap coming your way in just a moment. Monday edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin on the high school baseball diamond, where the Carbon Dinos earned a season series sweep over the Union Cougars with an impressive 9-2 victory Friday afternoon in Helper. Holding a slim 3-1 lead entering the fifth frame, the Dinos took complete control by adding six more to their total. Friday's victory comes just 2 days after topping Union 14-10 in Roosevelt. Cody Lowe delivered a solid 5 2/3 innings of work on the mound, allowing just 4 hits and 1 earned run, while also striking out 6. Colin Lewis finished the final 4 outs to help secure the win. Ty Anderson's brilliant offensive performance propelled Carbon's offense, which scored in three of the team's six innings, finishing 3-of-3 at the plate. Anderson recorded two doubles, two RBIs, and one walk. Zach Bradley, Jaden Robertson, and Cody Lowe all logged one RBI apiece. On top of the standout performance on the mound, Lowe also knocked one double and one triple in four plate appearances. Carbon will next travel on the road to meet American leadership tomorrow. The team will then wrap up the season set with ALA on Friday at home. We stick with baseball, but we move over to Emory High. And the Spartans suffered their fifth region setback of the year, falling 2-1 to Manti. This contest was Friday afternoon on the road. The Spartans took an early 1-0 lead in the second frame, and it remained 1-0 until the bottom of the fourth when Manti tied the contest at 1 and then scored the game-winning run and walk-off style in the bottom of the seventh inning to pick up the 2-1 win. In the loss for the Spartans, they were led by Coda Alton, who finished with two of the team's four hits. Alton also scored the team's lone run, also registering a hit with senior Easton Gordon and Brax Jensen. Taking the loss on the hill for Emory this go-around, it was Easton Gordon. He pitched a solid 6.2 innings of action, giving up just one hit and two runs, none of which were earned, while also striking out three. Emory, now sitting 3-5 in region play, will have their opportunity to get back on the winning track when they return to the field tomorrow. They'll play host to North Sam Pete. Start time for this contest is set for 3:30 p.m. Now we move over to USU Eastern Baseball, and it was the final homestand of the season for the men's baseball squad, and unfortunately, they were unable to hold off Salt Lake, dropping three of the four weekend set games. USU Eastern won the first contest 10-9 in come-from-behind fashion, scoring three runs in the bottom of the seventh inning. Cole Fawcett actually homered in the seventh inning. That solo shot set the stage for a mini-rally as USU Eastern battled back to pick up the 10-9 win. After that, USU Eastern suffered a 12-9 loss in the second game on Friday. Saturday, the two teams returned, and Salt Lake picked up a 7-3 win and then closed out the weekend by dominating 14-2. Again, the USU Eastern Eagles are now 12-11 in conference play, which still puts them in a fine spot as far as the Scenic West Athletic Conference standings go. USU Eastern is now prepared to travel on the road the remainder of the regular season, giving them the lengthiest road trip of the year. Right now, they trail the College of Southern Nevada by just three games in the loss column, but they are even in the win column. USU Eastern will take on Southern Nevada in Henderson this Friday and Saturday. Now we move over to USU Eastern softball, and the women have the complete opposite schedule. They participated in their final road contests of the regular season, which marked five straight weeks on the road for the Lady Eagles. After taking 4 out of 4 from Colorado last week, the Lady Eagles fought and earned a split with Salt Lake Community College. The Lady Eagles will now take on Southern Nevada this Friday and Saturday at home, followed by the College of Southern Idaho, and then they'll wrap up the regular season the first weekend of May against Snow College. And we end by moving over to the national sports scene, and yesterday on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, the Utah Jazz dropped Game 1 of the Western Conference first-round playoffs to the Oklahoma City Thunder, 116-108. Game 2 will take place on Wednesday, and you will be able to listen to live coverage of that contest beginning at 5:50. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the...
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Monday edition of the Coach's Corner. We're going to talk some soccer. Big, big couple of weeks coming up for Emory High School. As it sits right now, the Spartans are in the driver's seat for the Region 15 championship. They control their own destiny. They'll go toe-to-toe with South Sevier tomorrow. That's a team that they did defeat 5-0 just a couple of weeks ago, and that'll set up an epic rematch with Grand, a game that they lost 1-0. Joining us right now to talk about a big week, a big couple of weeks, we have Coach Troy Winter over the phone right now. Coach, a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, too, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks since we've talked to you, Coach. We get down to the final five games of the regular season. The important thing to note is Emory is 4-1-1 in Region 15 play. That puts the Spartans at the top of the Region 15 division, but it's such a tight race between Manti Grand and North Sam Pete. In fact, at this stage of the game, one game separates first to fourth. That's some entertaining soccer.
It's some high-pressure soccer for each one of us, and every game counts. Every game.
What have you learned, Coach, about the region and some of the competition, as well as your team as a whole, now that we are this late in the year?
You know, I basically, that we're all pretty even. You know, each one of us have, you know, a very good soccer team. We all play soccer very well. There's some highs and some lows for each one of the teams, either injuries or ineligibility or, you know, whatever goes on. But this late in the season, everybody's pretty much to full strength and playing really well right now.
Well, with that being said, we can talk about the way this team has played as of late, Coach. You guys have won three straight, haven't lost since March 13th, and that loss was a 1-0 shutout to Grand, and we can talk about that because it has turned out to be quite the costly loss. Yet at the same time, since March 15th, it's been over a month since you guys have suffered a loss. That's impressive in itself.
You know, it is. It's actually, when you put you know, numbers together and look at it on paper and stuff, you know, the soccer team really has performed well against each one of the teams that we play. Their level of play and their level of intensity for each game has been, you know, has been really good. There's a few things that we need to improve on. We make adjustments on a regular basis, and we get them improvements. And as a coach, I'm really proud of the, you know, the team for doing that.
Yeah, over the last three games, Coach, a 5-0 victory over South Sevier, 2-1 win over Richfield, 1-0 win over North St. Pete. That's 8-1 soccer in three consecutive region games. And I guess it could be somewhat telling for what lies ahead, because tomorrow it'll be a matchup with South Sevier on the road. So it's a team that we are fairly familiar with here recently.
Correct. Yep. We just played them here a couple weeks ago. A team, again, that, you know, their program, you know, has taken a couple bumps and bruises. But it's a team that we can't overlook. They could absolutely show up and have a chip on their shoulder, and we could be looking ahead to the next game and get shocked and surprised. So we have to show up and play, for sure.
Is that hard to make sure you relay that to the team? Because you did just beat them 5-0. Right now you guys are the top team in the region. Regardless, these are kids. These are teenage kids. Is it hard to relay that message to them?
You know, I think it's easy to relay it, but it's hard for them to think it in and realize how important it is. As we have, you know, different conversations, you know, with them, you know, I really stress it. You know, we play today's, you know, practice and tomorrow's game. You know, we're not looking ahead to, you know, to any other teams other than today's practice and tomorrow's game, theoretically. But, you know, a lot of times when you beat a team 5-0, you think, oh, you know, we should be able to go in and handle them pretty good. And so, it's a challenge as a coach, for sure.
I mentioned, Coach, 8-1 over the last three games. Taven has obviously been great for you guys at goalie. But with that being said, what are some of the other elements that have helped you guys give up one goal in three games?
You know, our defense is actually is surprisingly strong this year. We lost a lot of starters last year on the defensive end of the field, and we were struggling to figure out who he was going to plug into them positions. As we plugged them in, you know, they've all actually worked really, really well. They played really, really hard. You know, one of the surprises is Gage Mangum. He's over from the town of Emory, plays quality soccer, you know, has played at a different level before, in a different town, and has been a pleasant surprise for us, actually.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Troy Winter of the Emory High School soccer squad. Coach, next three games, South Sevier, Grand, and Manti, those are huge games when you take a look at it on paper, because again, as I mentioned, one loss could send you all the way down to number four in this region, which is just absolutely insane. As far as Grand and Manti go, where do you guys stack up with these squads? You beat Manti, you lost to Grand, and I remember when we talked about the Grand game, you just weren't really happy with the way the team has performed. You say you guys are close, but I mean, on paper, do you feel that you guys have the edge against both of these teams?
You know, I feel like we have a little bit of an edge, you know, as far as personnel, you know, athlete to athlete or player to player, you know, I feel like we have a little bit of an edge. You know, that the key element, you know, which with all of our remaining games, but those two specifically, is we have to show up and play. You know, really, I think we have the potential and the opportunity to come out and beat Grand and then go give Manti a really, really good game, if not be able to, you know, defeat them as well, too. You know, so I'm really confident in our ability if we'll show up and play, you know, at them games. I think we can pull off a win against both teams.
We'll talk about the offense here for a second, Coach. I know in one of your recent wins, one of the 1-0 wins, it was Tannen Allred that scored the lone goal in this contest. Between Tannen and between Parker Sermon, again, these seem to be the two most potent weapons you guys have offensively.
You know, they are. They put themselves in the right place at the right time. Both of them are, you know, basically four-year players. You know, they've started, you know, over the last 4 years and, you know, seniors this year. And so, you know, captains of the team as well, too. You know, there's quite a load on their shoulders. And, you know, at any given time, each one of them, you know, steps up, performs, and, you know, what's done, does what's needed to, you know, to get a win for us and stuff. So it's really, really comforting to know that they're on the field for us right now.
Normally, Coach, when we're talking fall or winter sports and we get down to the final 2 weeks of the regular season, I have to ask the coaches about fatigue, but you and I were joking off of the air that the spring sports season is so short. I mean, there's just not a lot of time. Fatigue, does it ever become a problem in a spring sports season?
We haven't noticed it for our team, you know, to be honest with you. We've noticed it with a few other teams, which has been surprising to me, but Our boys really understand the importance of being conditioned, you know, and how important it is. You know, we've got a lot of runners on the team as well, too, that you know, take part cross country. They take part in swim, and a couple basketball players as well, too. But they just know through the winter that it's time to buckle down and to be in shape because, you know, like you just mentioned, you know, it's here and then it's gone. You know, we've got, you know, 8 weeks or 10 weeks to get it all in and done.
Coach, I do want to jump ahead and talk a little bit about the game on Thursday, not to overlook South Sevier, but again, it's a home contest against Grand, and it's at that point, it will be the biggest game of the year because Grand did beat you guys 1-0. Looking over Grand, I mean, they suffered a loss to North St. Pete. They suffered a loss to Manti. Well, that being said, you guys have one blemish right now, and it is to Grand. I mean, you guys managed to get by North St. Pete not once but twice, finishing with a tie and then getting a victory. So for this game against Grand on Thursday, I mean, this is a monumental game.
Yeah, absolutely is. It's a very big game, and you know, I think we talked about it a couple times. You know, again, not looking forward past South Sevier to Grand, but you know, just talking as far as a region crown. You know, that's our boys' goal, and you know, team goal, and Grand's going to be, you know, the next step that the steps in our way because of that loss, you know, in Moab when we played them.
And it, you know, and again, having Grand on Thursday, this is something else that I'm sure you've thought about. It'd probably be better to play Grand tomorrow, right, rather than South Sevier. So you're not looking past an opponent to get to that game against Grand because the kids know how big it is.
Right, right. They absolutely do. I'd much rather be playing them tomorrow instead of Thursday. But you know, we'll go in and you know we'll take the game against South Sevier. You know, take it to heart and go out and play good soccer and come back Wednesday and prepare for Grand on Thursday, you know, and that's kind of the message that I'm going to, you know, portray to the boys, to the team, and make sure they understand how important, you know, Tuesday's game is, and then, like you said, how monumental Thursday's game will be.
Coach, I don't know how much insight you can give me on this next question, but I am fairly familiar with Region 14. It's Region 13 that I'm not too familiar with. I know we did play Morgan earlier on in the season, but outside of that, I mean, Judge Memorial's at 5-0, Summit Academy's at 2-1, Morgan at 2-2-1. So, I mean, all in all, when you look at the competition in Region 13, what do you know about it, and how do the two regions, 14 and 15, stack up with it?
You know, I think Region 13, you know, having a couple of them private schools in there, they... You know, I hate to say that they have a little bit of an advantage, but, you know, I feel that they have a little bit of an advantage, you know, in the quality of soccer players that they can produce, you know, and their, you know, locality, you know, as far as being a little bit closer to the city. But I'm confident that we can show up and we can compete against any one of the teams any given day. You know, we faced Morgan earlier in the year. They handled us fairly well. It was the second of two games that day, but I really honestly feel if we were to face them again, it would be a different game for us and for them.
Well, Coach, it's great to get you back on the show. Great to get some insight on the team. Thank you very much for the time today. Best of luck against South Sevier and Grand, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
That'll be awesome. I appreciate it, Jordan. Thank you, and you guys have a great day, too.
Thank you, Coach. Troy Winter of the Emory Spartan Soccer Squad. Again, they'll return to the field tomorrow to take on South Sevier. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to move over to the national scene. We'll talk NBA playoff basketball. Yesterday, the Utah Jazz, they fell short of the Oklahoma City Thunder right here on KOAL. We're going to bring in James Holas. Haven't talked to James in a while. I'm excited to get James back on the show to get his thoughts. That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
Let's talk some NBA playoff basketball. Yesterday here on KOL, Utah Jazz fall to the Oklahoma City Thunder 116-108 in game one of the opening round. I still like Utah to win that series. But if I'm a Jazz fan, I'm a little bit concerned. Paul George was fantastic in this contest last night. As far as the Jazz go, Donovan Mitchell, he was Donovan Mitchell, had 27 points in the contest. Ricky Rubio's production left a lot to be desired, though. We're going to talk about that and more, recap the first set of games in round one with James Holas, who is joining us over the phone right now. It's been way too long since we've gotten James on the show with bballbreakdown.com. James, it's good to hear from you.
Thanks for having me on, man. I thought you'd abandoned me for a while. I was like, wow, I'm getting the cold shoulder. Nice to hear from you again, man.
Yeah, it's great to get you back on. Always a spot for James Holas here on the show. James, let's dive right into it by talking some Utah Jazz basketball. Yesterday here on KOL, the Jazz falter in this contest against OKC. Very entertaining game. Jazz get out to a quick start. But at the end of the day, man, there was too much Paul George offensively in this game for OKC. He nets 36 points, and the Thunder get a 116-108 win. Not surprising, at least in my mind, that OKC steals game one. But at the same time, I think this is going to be a long, long series. I think we kind of get a feel of what this series is going to be like in game one.
Well, yeah, it's all, of course, everything the Jazz does is predicated on Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. Those two are the dual straws that stir the Utah drink. And it's been a long time, because I know I haven't been on yet to sing the virtues and extol the excellence of Donovan Mitchell. I absolutely love that kid. I'm gonna tear my rotator cuff a little bit, because before the draft, I actually wrote a piece and I questioned why was Lonzo Ball and not Donovan Mitchell considered, like, you know, one of those top two players in the draft, because I knew from just watching him last year that this kid was special. The thing is, like, Utah is disciplined. They're so disciplined, they're never going to be all the way out of a ball game. And the Thunder are known for letting teams back into ball games because they're so undisciplined. So this will be an interesting dichotomy, an interesting battle there between those two. And, can Paul George go bonkers like that and have 8 3-pointers again? Probably not. You know, will Joe Ingles have another game where he just, in the first half, he can't get it going? Probably not. So, I mean, this is going to be an interesting check and balance and chess match between the coaches.
Going back to what Utah does so well and when things are working right, I don't think it's any coincidence that this team has a problem scoring points. I mean, defensively, they're one of the best in the league. It's, can they score enough points? And if they're giving up 116 on the road, I don't like their chances. With that being said, Ricky Rubio was not very good in this game, James. He wasn't very effective from the field, wasn't very efficient from the field. Shoots just 5 of 18. As far as ball distribution goes, he ends up with 5 assists. Wasn't bad defensively in this game, but we can talk about Mitchell and we can talk about Gobert. To me, it seems when Rubio is right, this team is definitely more potent. There's no question about it.
Absolutely, and I think for a large portion of the ball game, he led Utah, and I think he led all players in shots taken, mm-hmm. and that's playing right into the Thunder's hand. If they try to make Ricky Rubio a scorer, and Ricky Rubio, you know, sure, he's had some really nice stretches this season, especially, you know, shooting the three. He's actually improved a lot. I think he has his career best 3-point percentage this year.
I believe so, yep.
And right, yeah, and he's had some really big games and really nice stretches where he looks like, you know, hey, he's finally figured it out. But we have 6-7 years of Ricky Rubio, and more often than not, you don't want him being your primary scorer. So, yeah, that's something for Utah to definitely work on, is getting the ball, like, for Rubio not to feel like he has to shoot it, and getting the ball in other people's hands, because, you know, he's just not the best option.
Well, that being said, Utah's down 1-0. Jazz fans panicking. How important is game two? Is it a must win? Do you consider it a must win?
It's not a must win. Like Pat Riley used to always say, the series doesn't really start until the home team loses. Mm-hmm. So OKC is supposed to hold serve, on their home court. Now, the Jazz have to come home and take care of their business, too. That's where it becomes important. You don't want to go down 0-3. You don't want to go down 3-1. So it's not must win. And if you start thinking things are must win, that's when things can cascade and you put an undue pressure on yourself. So you definitely want that split when you're the road team, but it's not must win.
Well, let's flip and talk about a contest in the Eastern Conference, which I think took everyone by surprise. Victor Oladipo was 2017-2018 Victor Oladipo. He finishes with 32 points, and the Pacers blast the Cleveland Cavaliers. You even told me off the cuff this one kind of surprised you a little bit.
This one blew my mind. I think we're so used to the LeBron James playoff experience that it was almost understood, and it's almost universally said, because every year we say the same thing. Hey, the Cavs' defense is slipping. LeBron James can't do it anymore, or something to that effect. We all know he's awesome. He's still great. But then the playoffs come around, and he finds another gear, and the team just kind of flips it around. This is his first loss in the first round in, like, 21 chances, you know? So it's been years since he's lost a game in the first round. And I don't think he's ever been beat like this in the first round. Like, they just got dominated from the jump. Even they got the lead down to single digits. Like, you know, the Pacers never faltered. They just played with pace and aggression, and they just, you know, they stretched that lead back out. We're not used to seeing that from LeBron James and that team. So I was definitely shocked by this outcome. And I feel like Cavs fans who are just saying it's okay, and even LeBron himself saying he's not worried, feels a little bit like whistling past the graveyard, but we'll see.
You know, it doesn't shock me that they lost a game in the first round to Indiana James, because if we go back to the first year that LeBron joined Miami, I don't think there's any debate that this is LeBron's most difficult road to get to the NBA Finals out of the Eastern Conference. And with that's going to come some bumps and bruises along the way if he is to get Cleveland back to the NBA Finals. He's never really had to face competition like this in the first, second, or even third round if things play out the way we expect them to play out.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to apologize to Pacers fans, because I guess a big part of my, you know, shock of this is that, yeah, the Pacers were a nice story, and, you know, they're definitely a good team. I think, but people keep saying that, and people can't kind of expect the other shoe to drop with the Pacers. It's hard to believe that the team that we all predicted that Indiana's going to be in the preseason is this good, because no one saw this coming except for maybe everyone in the locker room in Indiana. And even if they told me that, I don't think I'm going to believe it. So it's just so hard to believe, and we keep expecting Indiana to kind of fall apart while they just keep on plugging. And they're young, they're athletic, they play hard. You got to give Nathan Millen a lot of credit.
You also called Victor Oladipo's campaign, and again, I want to point that out because we haven't had you on in a while, but you were not surprised by Oladipo putting up the numbers that he put up this year.
You know what? I can't pat myself on the back and say I was, you know, fully aware that he turns to an all-star. But, I mean, I've always been high on Oladipo's talent. He's kind of a prototypical attacking guard in today's league, where he has size, he has strength, he has athleticism. He just never seemed to put it all together. And I even tweeted this summer after the trade, hey, is this the summer that he gets himself together and it shows on the court? Now, I'd be lying if I said I expected him to average over 20 points a game and lead a team, you know, to the playoffs. But I never really stopped believing in Oladipo. The good kid seems like he's not even a kid anymore. Good young man. He seems to have his head on his shoulders the right way. And, you know, he said it himself. He credits playing with Russell Westbrook. That's how he learned how to take care of his body. He learned how hard he has to go to be that next level type player. And it's amazing to see it all come together. I couldn't be happier for him. And I know that right now LeBron James must be, kind of dreading seeing him on the other side of the floor.
Now, James, I know for the listeners who are unaware, I know you're kind of partial to the Boston Celtics, so I'm sure you were thrilled with the outcome of this game yesterday with Milwaukee. For those who missed it, you missed a crazy contest, including the last 30 seconds of regulation, in which it was just back and forth, back and forth. You're not going to say this, but I know it's one of those games where if you're Milwaukee, you almost hate to see the Bucks come away with a loss in that particular outcome. A loss like that in a playoff contest can be very deflating nonetheless. What are you expecting game two?
I'm expecting that Coach Prunty, is that his name? Coach Prunty's going to come back. And they have to cut down the turnovers. That's the main thing. They have to move Giannis around the floor a little bit, because right now Al Horford did a great job. Even Giannis had 30-something points, I think 34, 35 points. But Al Horford did an outstanding job in keeping him in front of him and limiting his opportunities. They're going to have to find new ways to get him the ball. They're going to run maybe Al Horford off of screens. So put the ball in Giannis's hand to let him run pick and roll up top to try to force switches because, you know, right now the Celtics have a perfect game plan to deal with him. Sure, he had 34, 35 points, but, you know, when the rubber hit the road, they managed to keep him under wraps. They got to find a way to limit. I mean, the Celtics had like four guys score over 19 points. They got to find a way to limit the perimeter players in Boston.
Again, we're being joined right now by James Holis of bballbreakdown.com. We're going to talk here in just a moment about where you can find more of James's work. James, outside of yesterday's games, and I don't want to slight Houston and Minnesota because that was a very entertaining contest. Jimmy Butler had a chance to force overtime late in that game. What was the most compelling story of the weekend for you?
Most compelling story. I think the Pacers, the way they handled the Cavaliers, that really, to me, stood out more than anything else. I know it sounds shocked, but LeBron James has the pedigree. He's been doing this for the last, you know, he's aiming to go to the finals for 8 straight years. For them to get so thoroughly outplayed, and LeBron James usually has the team ready for the playoffs. That's up there. Maybe the close second was the Sixers, because without Embiid, I thought that the Heat would give them a better fight and, you know, put up a better challenge. And, you know, for part of the game they did. But then the Philly just really poured it on. The shooters got hot, and that kind of shocked me. I kept hearing that Miami would be, you know, they'll be a tougher team in the playoffs than they were in the regular season. But, you know, it is what it is. They're a team without a star.
They gave up 74 points in the second half. That's kind of where I was going. For me, it was Philadelphia, the way they were able to dominate Miami in the second half. Again, they put up, I think, like 35 in the third quarter, scored 40 in the fourth quarter. I mean, they were very, very good offensively in this game. How important is Markelle Fultz to what this team does in the postseason, or is he at all?
Of course he's important. They've been desperately needing another ball handler. So when Simmons goes to the bench or even playing off of Simmons, it just adds another layer to their offense. So the fact that he can come in and manufacture offense out of thin air and he can run the second units and he's an underrated passer, that kid is really – I feel great for him because, you know, people already try to label him a bust. The shoulder issue, the shooting issue, such a strange season for him. Seems like that's already starting to fade into the background because he's finding a little success. So he's very important, especially if this team's thinking about making a deep run, which, you know, I think is more realistic than it was 2 weeks ago.
Tonight we get Philadelphia and Miami. Start time for that game will be at 6 p.m. Mountain Time with the great San Antonio Golden State on top of that. Speaking of odd seasons, it's been an odd season for San Antonio to say the least, right? I mean, is this a long series or is this something that's going to end quick? Is Golden State going to come in and thump this out in 4 to 5 games?
They should thump it out in 4 or 5 games. And like you said, I think that's almost secondary to the saga in San Antonio. Like, I've never seen a situation that's going on with Kawhi Leonard right now. It's such a baffling situation. Any other franchise, I think, it'd lead ESPN every day. If this was Kevin Durant or, if it was Anthony Davis, who was cleared to play months ago and still, for whatever reason, wasn't playing. And you know, the Spurs have earned that kind of goodwill, but it's just, I can't wait for the whole story to come out. And a lot of people are starting to think that maybe Kawhi played his last game in a Spurs uniform.
You know, I'm kind of torn on this because I remember Derrick Rose receiving a lot of criticism for being cleared to play, coming back from a knee injury, and not playing. It doesn't seem like Kawhi is getting nearly the scrutiny of Derrick Rose. And Derrick Rose was an MVP. I get it. He played for the Chicago Bulls. I know it was a different scenario. But at the same time, when you talk about Kawhi Leonard, you're talking about one of the best two-way players in the NBA. And he's been cleared for a while, James, and he isn't playing.
Right, and even the Derrick Rose thing was, you know, they cleared him in the playoffs or right before the playoffs, and he wasn't comfortable coming back, you know. And I think if I'm correct, he was actually kind of proved right because he got, you know, next year was injured again, and that was part of the downfall of Derrick Rose physically. So that's, you know, even in hindsight, you can kind of say, okay, we can see where Derrick Rose is coming from. In this one, I was listening to Kawhi's interview the other day. He had a media session, and yeah, he said he's been playing 5-on-5, and, you know, he's been cleared since, I think, December, early January. That's just, I get it. It's a chronic condition. Well, you know, I don't get it, and no one gets it. That's what's so baffling about this whole situation.
James, great stuff as always. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work, because I know you're very, very active as far as basketball goes.
Very active on social media. You guys can find me on Twitter, at Snotty Drippin. That's an homage to the great Scottie Pippen. You can find me at B-Ball Breakdown. You can find me at realballinsider.com, and I'm also part of the Dunk Tales pod over at Almighty Baller Podcast Network.
And, of course, we'll be able to find you here on Drive Time Sports throughout the rest of the playoffs, right?
I hope so. If you don't take 10 years to get me back on again.
That's my fault completely, James, but I do appreciate you being available today.
We all get busy. It's good to hear from you. I'm glad that you're doing well and you're doing okay.
Same for you, man. Same for you. It's always great to get you on the show, James. Thank you again, and hopefully we can catch up next week.
I'm looking forward to it.
Again, that's James Holis. Check out his work online at Snotty Drippin on Twitter. Love that Twitter handle. Pound for pound, top five Twitter handle of all time. James Holis taking out the time to join us here on Drive Time Sports. We've got a break for just a moment. More coming up when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. You may be right. I may be crazy. Oh, but it just may be a lunatic you're looking for.
Hey, it's Garrett Topp. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
We're back for the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Fun show today. Great to get James Holis back on. Tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun as well. Coach's Corner tomorrow will feature Utah Ute football coach Kyle Whittingham. The Utes held their spring practice, their spring game this past Saturday. Tyler Huntley, he was pretty good. It's a good sign for Utah, right? And as far as the final score goes, red team beat the white team 25-23. Matt Gay kicked in the game-winning field goal to give the red team the win. Spring game featured almost as many potential starters on the sidelines in street clothes as those that suited up on the field. Injury's always a big problem. I know we've talked to Coach Whittingham about that in the past. I remember Devontae Booker, and I bring this up because we were talking about Devontae at the beginning of the show, and I asked Coach Whittingham, Devontae's senior year, what do you do with Devontae the rest of spring practice? And he said, we wrap him in bubble paper, and he won't be playing in that spring game. I get that. Zach Moss, Cody Barton, Chase Hansen, Bradley and I, Jackson Barton, they didn't play in the spring game. We are going to talk to Coach Kyle Whittingham about that on the show tomorrow. Also, we'll be joined by Bill Lasky. He joins us each week to talk Major League Baseball. And now we're almost a month deep into the season. We're approaching that four-week span. I can't believe how fast things are flying. So we have plenty to talk to Bill about tomorrow. One of the things that I definitely want to touch on, in the American League, you have the World Series champion Houston Astros. I still say they're the cream of the crop in the American League. I think the Red Sox are close. Number three to me is the Angels. And I think that the Angels are young enough that there is a rivalry brewing in the AL West. See, the NL, the way things are shaped right now, I don't care that the Nationals are 7-9. I don't care that the Dodgers are in dead last in the National League West. I don't care that the Cubs are at 500. Those are your three teams to beat in the National League. I still believe that wholeheartedly. The American League, the Astros are still the team to beat, but the Angels have gotten so good, so fast, and they have a plus 48 run differential so far this year. That's impressive. That's very impressive. The Astros aren't going anywhere. The Angels aren't going anywhere. We have that NL West rivalry starting to brew, so of course we'll talk about that on the show tomorrow as well. And again, on the local sports front, just check out CastleCountryRadio.com. Anytime you want to see what's happening, game recaps, you can also listen to previous interviews we've had with coaches, head on over to CastleCountryRadio.com. You can also listen to Drive Time Sports on demand at any time. Previous shows are available. Just click on the Drive Time Sports link. Out of time on the show today. Again, I want to thank Coach Troy Winter and James Holis for taking out the time to join us. I will catch you tomorrow with Coach Kyle Whittingham, and also we'll be joined by Bill Lasky. Have a terrific Monday. Be safe. I am out.